come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
It is so great to be back here with you guys. I don't know how you guys feel, but I was excited this morning. I was excited yesterday, and I was going, yes, we get to get back, and you guys are such an encouragement to me, and I hope I'm an encouragement to you, and you're an encouragement to each other. And if you're doing the writing that is encouragement, this is our writing, this is our scripture writing plan. If you don't know what this is what we do every day. There is a scripture on here on the date of the day of the month, and you just write that out in a journal. You don't get to put it on your computer. You don't get to put it in your phone, because you don't remember it as well if you don't write it down. So then you can go back to that journal later on, and you can realize how much the Lord has taught you, how much you've grown in the Word of God, how much He's put into your heart, how the Scripture's been open to you, and all of that comes out of writing this. And it's not a big deal. You know, most of them are one or two, maybe three verses a day, and every one of these, as I sat down to write them every day, every one of them dealt with that day. And that was the Lord, as we were figuring out which one we were going to do for our scripture writing. My heart was to, let's do prayer. Let's do prayer. Okay, so I'm looking for the ones on prayer, looking for it. And no, I came across encouragement, and I realized that's what we need more than anything else, is some encouragement. And so that's what we are doing for our scripture writing. Somebody asked me about the picture that's on our books. This picture was taken by Bill Welsh, and it is a Carl Sandburg's farm in North Carolina, I believe. And so someone mentioned to me that they would like a copy of it, and they would want to frame it. If anybody's interested in doing that, talk to me, and let's make it available and get these neat pictures out there. I've been on Bill to get those out there anyway. So, oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We are so excited to be here with you. We are excited, Lord, about what you have for us today. We're excited about this book of Ruth. We're excited, Lord, to be together. We are blessed beyond measure, Lord. We are blessed more than we deserve. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that anointing that Bethany sang over us, Lord, that anointing of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you as you lean down your ear to us, Lord, that you would listen to us, and that we would in the same way lean down our ear to you and hear what you have to say to us today. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my verse for the year. Most of you know that I have a verse for the year. I always have a verse for the year. I ask the Lord in the beginning of the year, what is my verse for this year? Well, you know that if you've been to church, you and heard Pastor Bill, he's been talking about the fact that we started the Bible study, our own reading through the Bible together, which is just really a fun thing to do. But we started with the one chapter books first, and then we went to two chapters, then we went to the three chapter books, and then we'll go to the four chapter books. And when it gets to the 36 chapter books, I don't know. I don't know where we'll be. But with that, the one verse that I got for this year comes from the book of Nahum. Nahum is right after Micah in. And it, Nahum is a minor prophet. It's only called a minor prophet because they are smaller books, not because their information is less, but it's because it's more. And so it's called a minor prophet because of its length. The address of it is Nahum 2:1. And let me tell you what it says. He who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily. That's my verse for the year. So I thought, well, you know, that spoke to me. This is a word from God. And by the way, did any of you hear us on the radio on Friday? Okay, if you heard us on the radio on Friday and I went on about this is God's love letter and we don't have to go to all the different translations and blah, 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 I just meant when he's speaking to you that one time. Yes, you do need to go to other translations. Yes, you do need to study your Bible. No, you don't just go by what you just think off the top of your head. So all that cleared up. This same verse goes into the NIV, the New International Version. We used to call it the Nearly Inspired Version. New International Version. An attacker advances against you, Nineveh, because it's speaking to Nineveh. Guard the fortress, watch the road, brace yourselves, marshal all your strength. And then in the English Standard Version, the scatterer has come up against you. The scatterer has come up against you. You know that the enemy of our souls wants to divide us. The scatterer has come up against us. And he's at work. So what am I to do with that information? I am to man the ramparts. Stay where you are at. This is what he spoke to me. Stay where you are at. Watch the road. Watch the road that you're walking on. Watch the direction you're going. Pay attention to the things that you're allowing to come into your life as you're on this road. Make sure you're on that road of truth. Dress for battle. Dress for battle. Put on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and having your feet shod with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then collect all your strength. Collect all your strength. Strengthen yourself in the word. Strengthen yourself in prayer. Strengthen yourself in ministries. Strengthen yourself in the things that God's given you to do. One of the things he told me is I have to keep moving my body or I will not be able to walk. I have to move my body. And it hurts to move my body. But you know what? God said do it. So that's what we'll do. Because God said to do it. So that's my verse for the year. And I don't know, maybe God is speaking that to you guys. Maybe that's a verse that the Lord has given to you this year, but anyway, I'm just throwing that out there to remember, find out from God what he has for you this year. Make that the middle of your attention. So I absolutely love the title of the study, of our study, Positioning, God Positioning His People. God Positioning His People. On a couple of things just before they went to print, we found that we had worded it differently, and it said, positioning God's people. That says something completely different than God positioning his people. Along with this verse that I was given for this year, I am right where I am supposed to be. God positioned me here. Wherever you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, whether it's hard or it's easy or it's fun or whatever, God has positioned you there. Pay attention to what he's saying to you while you're there and learn along the way. And so I would much rather have God putting me where I'm supposed to be than trying to position myself or others. Have you ever been in a place where, well, I really want to be here. This is where I really want to be. I would fit much better over there. No, but God has me here, so I need to stay here. And that's a word from God for somebody else besides me. You are right exactly where you are supposed to be. God has positioned you there. So Ruth and Esther were women after God's own heart and were therefore positionable. They were women after God's own heart. They were therefore positionable. They were teachable. If I am not after God's own heart, if I'm after my own way, if I'm after my own things, I am no longer positionable by the Lord. I want to be where I want to be. But God says that I am to remain teachable and that I am to remain positionable. So as we look at these two women's stories, we realize that they were kind, they were loving, they were courageous, they were both young women who allowed themselves to be led by others who were lovers of God. They allowed themselves to be led by others who were lovers of God. I need to follow other people as well as lead other people. We are all always following all the time. And where do you like to follow from? I kind of like to follow from the front. And that gets me in trouble every time, because that puts me in the position of leader. And I don't want to be the leader. I want to be behind him. I want to be behind God. I want to be behind Christ. And I want to be following in his footsteps as I'm going along. Neither of these women would have positioned themselves in these places or in their stories. So let's take a look at Ruth first. As we look at Ruth, we can't really, and now this is the introduction to Ruth, and we can't really look at Ruth without looking at the book of Judges. Because the first verse, as it is written in our scripture here, says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." In the days when the judges ruled. It takes place in the time of the judges. The book of Judges ends with the phrase, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." It sounds familiar. Does it not sound familiar to you? I don't know if you've studied the book of Judges or even read the book of Judges before, but they keep going through the same stuff, the same cyclical thing. God blesses them, everything goes good, they start worshiping idols, God has to judge them, bring them under judgment, and they cry out to God, and everything goes good, and then he delivers them, everything goes good, they start worshiping idols, and then they have to go into judgment. I fear that there is no change without judgment. We want to see things changed in our country, but I fear that the only way that that's going to change is something really serious happening. Just throwing that out there. So, let's take a glimpse into the book of Judges. Now, the book of Judges is right before Ruth. Most of you know that. If the book were made into a movie today, oh my goodness, if it were made into a movie today, it would have to be rated R or X or whatever. The things that are in it, it would be a blockbuster, I'm betting. It has sexual exploits in it. It has gruesome wars in it. It has and all kinds of violence. There are heroes in it that are bigger than life itself, all here in the book of Judges. The wife of a religious leader will be gang raped and die. That's in the book of Judges. That's what was going on. They were not a united nation at that time. Israel wasn't. They were all the separate tribes. There's Samson, Israel's strong man. You guys all saw the pictures of Samson when you were kids growing up, and he's like, yes, I'm a big man. But he had this thing about him. He was also their last judge. And he had a weakness for immoral women. And he ends up with a haircut and his strength sapped and eyes gouged out and death by suicide. That's in the book of Judges. These all happened to Israel right after Joshua died. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and everybody was following him. And everybody's going, yeah, yeah, hallelujah. Almost immediately after, they went after idols. And their children went after idols because they didn't teach their children the things of God. Over and over and over, the same story. And when I read it, I want to say to them, don't you remember that you made this promise to God? Don't you remember what he said to you? Don't you remember that he said he was going to do this? And I have to say to myself, don't you remember? Don't you remember what God did in your life? Are you so quickly moved away from what God has done in your life? I have to put that on myself as well. Don't they remember God's word? Don't I remember God's words? And they have that basic pattern that I've already gone over. They prosper. They stop worshiping God. They face the consequences of punishment. They cry out for God's help. They get that help in the form of a leader chosen by God who was a judge. By the end of the book, however, Israel sinks to the new all-time low. By the end of the book of Judges, Israel broke its covenant with God. For this, they suffered some of the consequences Moses warned about, particularly Leviticus 26, 16, and 17. Your enemies will eat the crops you plant, and I will turn from you and let you be destroyed by your attackers. Ruth starts out with the fact that there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem because of the enemies who had come in and taken their crops. God stops short of allowing their enemies to eat them all up. God explained through Moses in Leviticus 26, 44, no matter what you have done, I am still the Lord your God, and I will never completely reject you. I am still the Lord your God, and I will never completely reject you. And I don't know, I get the feeling that somebody here needed to know that. God will not completely reject you. You are walking with him, you will continue to walk with him, and you will like it. That was the, you will walk with God. Are you you understanding me here? And you will love it. And you'll keep walking with God, and you will reap the consequences of a walk with God, which are all good. And so, Judges covers roughly 300 years just after Joshua dies, which we said in about 1375 BC, which is the period that the book of Ruth was written about, or was written, until just before Saul is crowned the first king of Israel in about 1050 BC. And as you know, when you're talking about BC, they count backwards rather than forwards. The book was written to preserve an important, though horrible, history of Israel, a horrible time in their history. The stories vividly show the consequences of disobedience as well as the never-ending love of God. Consequences as well as the never-ending love of God. How could this happen? Chapter 2, Israel starts worshiping idols in Judges. The people of Joshua's generation didn't pass it on to their children. They didn't pass on the works of God to their kids. And so when they came up against things, the next generation didn't know the Lord or any of the things that he had done for Israel. The people stopped worshiping the Lord, began worshiping the gods of Canaan. They were supposed to completely destroy the people of Canaan, but instead they lived in peace with them. When we live in peace with the enemy, when we live in peace with the things that we know the enemy of our soul is working in us, all of a sudden we find ourselves worshiping their idols. It just happens that way. I don't want to be at peace with evil in my life. I want to move forward. And so, after a time, however, the Israelites, and so the Lord allowed other nations to steal their crops and their possessions. After time, however, the Israelites called on the God of their parents. Called on the God of their parents. He answered by sending leaders to rescue them, rescue Israel from their enemies, and peace lasted as long as the judge lived. Only as long as the judge lived. Because what do you think happened after the judge died? Everything was going well. They were walking with the Lord, and then they were all content, and so they started worshiping idols, and then they got into a place where they're calling on God, and they're in judgment, and they're calling on God, and God delivers them with another judge to get them back into the way that they should be. Afterward, and it really ends, doesn't end well. For 25 years, the people would suffer from a nearby hostile king in chapter 4, and we have the story of Deborah. I love the story of Deborah. She's the one who goes out. She goes, I'll lead you. I got this. Who was it that was? So she's leading them, and they go out to war. And what's his name? Barak. Barak says, yeah, I'll go out and fight him, but only if you're in the lead. To the woman. You see what had happened there? The men had gotten soft. The men had gotten soft. The men were no longer the leaders they needed to be. There were probably many of them that still were. But we need to be praying for our men. Not just our husbands, but our men. That they would be men that walk with God. That they would be men that trust God. That they would be men that are leaders because they are being led by God. In the home. In their homes. In the places where they work. That they want a life that brings glory to God. And live for something more than themselves. Not that most of our men are not. You know what I'm saying. In chapter 7, the Israelites have already returned to their old sinful ways, so God allowed raiders to come in and invade them. The people finally call on God, and who does God bring in? Who's the next judge? Gideon. And Gideon has an army, a huge army, of 300. And those 300 set on their heels a group that was much larger by them than them because they did what? Because Gideon did what? Gideon heard God. And Gideon obeyed God. And the people that were under Gideon obeyed God through obeying Gideon. And they crashed those pots, and their torches went up, and the people run away horrified, thinking that there's this huge army out there that's going to take over them. God delivered them because of Gideon. But then what happens after Gideon? By chapter 16, we meet Samson, who was not like any of the other judges. He wasn't like any of the other judges. One thing about Samson is that he was a spoiled boy. And there's something to be said about spoiling our children. And there's a reason that it's called spoiled. What happens to things that are spoiled? They're rotted. They're not good to put in a salad. They're not good to put in to with the other fruit. They stand out and they are noticeable by their fragrance. They stink. And so we don't want to spoil. Samson was a spoiled boy. And as he became one of the judges, he doesn't settle disputes among the people, and he leads no one into battle. So I don't want the responsibility. Thank you very much. Don't need that kind of responsibility. I don't know what you're going to do with your problem. Not my problem. Not my problem. You'll have to work it out because I don't have, yeah. Move on. Because he was busy with the women. He's a one-man army who hates the Philistines, for they have killed his new bride, burned her body. So he burns their crops, then slaughters 1,000 of their soldiers by using nothing but the jawbone of a donkey, which is an amazing thing. What did he do it for? Revenge. Again, this is a judge, a leader, who is motivated by revenge. He was the last judge, judge number 12. The book ends with the Israel, and so by the time they wanted to, he falls in love with Delilah. The Philistines offer nearly 300 pounds or 300 pieces of silver to find his weakness. You know the story. She finds his weakness. She cuts his hair. They come in and get him. He doesn't have his strength anymore. He's taken by surprise. He's like, what happened to my strength? Why can't I? What did you do to me? You set yourself up, Samson. How many times have I set myself up for sin? I didn't think I was setting myself up for sin. I just thought that was something I really wanted to do. So I positioned myself. And what happened? Consequences of sin. I want God to position me where I'm supposed to be. And so he had positioned himself there. And so the soldiers rush in, they capture Samson, they put out his eyes, and then they put him to work at a grinding mill. And then one day they decide they want to come out and parade him around. But his hair's grown, and his strength is back, because he called out to God. He called out to God. And he said, God, give me the strength to destroy the enemy. And we know the story. He brought down the two pillars, and in himself, he was killed along with the 3,000 Philistines. He was the last of Israel's judges. The book ends with the Israelites handcrafting silver idols to worship. A mob attacking a house to get to a man to have relations with him. And the man sends out his wife, who is raped and killed. And then horrible things. You see why I don't really love the book of Judges? I don't really love to look into these things. But it is in this Bible because we need to know what time was Ruth living in. What was going on in their lives at that time? These things were going on in their lives at that time. Civil war going on. And the book ends with, in those days, there was no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So, all this was going on during the time of Ruth, which I just said, in the time that there was famine in the land. I wonder if that famine was because of that, their food being stolen, just like God said. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. In their everyday life, not much has changed from our newspaper, from our TV news, from our news that we get on our phones or on our computer or on our little wrist thing. The news has not changed, has it? Do you hear things on the news now and go, how in the world did someone come up with an idea to do that? They are all doing what's right in their own eyes. But in that day, when the news wasn't different from what we hear today, came a young woman who was willing to give her all. And because she gave her all, she would become the mother of Israel's greatest kings. She is a Gentile. I am anxious to get into this story of Ruth next week, the story of love, the story of friendship, the story of loyalty, but especially the story of redemption. It is the story of redemption. Ruth is not just a nice short story. It's filled with the consequences of women who choose to live all in. They're all in. They've given it their all. I want to live a life that's all in, and I challenge you to live a life that's all in. So let's commit to asking God what he wants to see changed in us, and then let's ask him for the strength, the courage, the commitment, the loyalty, and friendship along the way that we're going to need to accomplish what he's called us to do in the place that he's positioned us. Let's make that commitment. Lord Jesus, help us to make that commitment to be all in, to be there for you, Lord. And I know that it sounds like it was depressing things that we just went over, Lord, but the exciting thing about it is that there is redemption. You are the Redeemer. You said you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Lord, even in the midst of our rebellion, we call unto you and you will answer us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are in the middle. And help us to be all in, Lord. Give us the strength and the loyalty and the commitment and the friends, Lord, to walk with us through it. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.